Thank you so much, Bob Kessler. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And at 720 WGN yesterday, Bill, I don't remember it was about this time or a little later in the show.
Yeah.
You were talking about seeing Mark Roberts' new play.
Yes.
And how you were able to suspend belief or disbelief and forget it was your friend and to let yourself get into the play mode.
Right. Correct. And you made fun of me and threw
things at me. I didn't
make
fun of you.
Me.
I just, you know, when we watch movies and we watch things, we have that escape where we're not thinking about anything else, hopefully.
Right.
But you had an epiphany or something at Mark Roberts' show.
I did. I had an epiphany, or any of the teenage girls that sang in malls in the 1980s, where I said most of our lives are spent, when you're watching TV or movies or plays, you're basically tricking your brain into believing you're watching something, and I marvel at that.
Well, speaking of tricks, Michael Patrick Thornton in the studio with us right now. Michael, you have had roles in The Dilemma, Private Practice. You've been on television. You also have a play going on right now, and you're in a wheelchair.
What?
I know. I'm sorry to tell you. Sorry to break
spoiler
the news.
Spoiler alert on that one, Michael.
This
sorry
is, this
about
is
this.
True.
But in the now, and that's how you've appeared. That's
terribly
very
lazy,
funny,
though.
By the way.
Lazy. It's easier
to just sit in a chair.
It's easier.
Of
You're
course
like a,
it is.
Like a king.
But when you do the Gift Theater's production of Richard III, it's going to be different, isn't it?
It is different, yes. Yeah. So Richard III is the first production of the Gift Theater, which is my home base and my labor of love. It's our 15th anniversary season. So we're kind of returning to where we first met, which was the Steppenwolf Garage through the school at Steppenwolf years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're leaving home to kind of return home in a way. And so I'm a proud board member of the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. When I got sick in 2003, they put me back together again with physical therapy, speech therapy, some of which involved doing Shakespeare monologues and sonnets.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, in this play that is largely about how this guy wants to be seen, and he thinks the reason why no one will give him a fair shot of being a king is because of his disability.
Yeah.
I think he thinks, well, if I change that, if I can get vertical, maybe they'll respect me more. So what RIC has done and a company called ReWalk is they've provided us with a robotic exoskeleton, which I wear for a large part of the second act, that has me up vertical, walking around, looking down on people that I've looked up to for, you know, several years acting because I'm usually sitting and they're standing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this perfect marriage of art and technology that slots perfectly in with the themes of Richard III.
This has or has not been done before?
My understanding is I'm the first actor in the world to perform on stage in an exoskeleton. I'm still waiting for the Guinness Book of World Records to drop off a case of Guinness, some swag.
We just learned just last week that the Guinness Book of World Records and Guinness beer was somewhat related. I never put
are
the two together.
Are they somewhat related?
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, you may, that may be happening.
Maybe.
Well,
see.
How did that come to be? How did this happen that you'll be the first in the world? That's very impressive.
Well, you know, Richard III was supposed to happen at a theater called Next in Evanston about a couple of years ago, and the Next unfortunately went under. Huh. So then Tracy Letts reached out to us, Steppenwolf Ensemble member and Tony Award Pulitzer Prize
Homeland
winner,
cast member.
A Homeland cast member. Yeah. And he said, what can I do to help? You know, and so he set up some meetings at Steppenwolf with us, and we decided, okay, well, let's get the band back together. Let's salvage this show, and do it at our at Steppenwolf, and that opened up some opportunities of like, well, what could we say with disability about disability in this space that we couldn't in the other? And so I met with Joanne Smith at RIC, and I knew that they were working on some of this exo technology that I had seen.
That's the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago.
The Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, exactly. And they're the number one place in the world for stroke and spinal cord rehab. And we thought, well, what if we put this in the show? I think it just fits perfectly into this guy who thinks once I'm up tall, then they'll respect me, which is just kind of his huge fallacy.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if he's disabled or not. He's just not the nicest person in the world.
What a cool idea.
Thank you.
What was it like for you to get in that exoskeleton suit for the first time?
Well, I had to start training late October, November. So we just opened up early March. So there was a few months of training, and after the first session of just pouring sweat, I thought, what in God's name have I agreed to here?
Sure.
Like, just walking around in the thing is taxing enough, let alone talking,
yeah.
Let alone talking Shakespeare,
yeah.
Let alone talking Shakespeare in a space that's, you know, charming, not acoustically perfect by a long shot. So there's just a lot of balls in the air to do it properly. And it's the trippiest thing, because for me to walk properly in this rewalk exoskeleton, I need to kind of yield a bit of how I think I want to be walking, right? Because it's a robot. It's programmed to go a certain way. But at the same time, it's calibrated differently based on how strong I am that
yeah.
day, or what strength I have in my legs and whatnot. So it's kind of like a wearable scene partner and kind of like an ambulatory conversation in a way. And it's like the two of us kind of collaborate and become a third thing. And I can't quite describe it, because Act Two, like the Richard in Act Two, is very different in some ways than the first one. And I think a lot of it's this robot. It just makes you feel like the beginning of like cyborg technology,
yeah,
or
I would
something
imagine.
Like that. And it's very trippy and it's very powerful.
What does this do to your focus? The focus that an actor's going through in a play, especially one as meaty as this, there's a lot that's playing in your head. So where is your focus, considering the fact that you're wearing this suit that's altering your movement? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I think probably 3 weeks ago, my answer would have been the opposite. You know, I think when we were getting into run-throughs with the robot at Steppenwolf, Act Two, I almost dreaded, because I knew how
yeah.
exhausting it was going to be.
Yeah.
But now my endurance is up at a certain point where it's almost like a break. Like, once we get into intermission and I have to get out of the wheelchair and into the exoskeleton, to me, it's almost like I get to go on a ride now.
Right.
And so to answer your question more clearly, in terms of my focus, I feel like I can focus better in it, because I'm not worried about tipping over.
Yeah.
You're not? You trust it 100%?
Well, I trust it, and I also trust Kate Scanlon and Kristen Hull, who are the two physical therapists from RIC who helped train me,
yeah.
and they alternate being a character in Richard III, who stand behind me in the robot just in case anything
yeah.
goes down. But it's a great question, because I think it simplifies things. You know, now I'm standing, I have my walker, I feel secure, I feel powerful standing up,
right.
and I can just be with my scene partner and play the reality of that scene.
Yeah.
So it's only when I'm walking and talking at the same time it gets a little more complex.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a real joyride.
We are going to have another guest that ends up in the Guinness Book of World Records, you know. That's our goal.
We want to have a lot of guests who do that.
You got to have a gimmick,
right.
you know.
That's the thing.
That's kind of the thing.
Right. This is so incredibly amazing what you're doing. I mean, to show you can do what anyone else can do, and you've been acting. And how do you feel about actors like Gary Sinise, for instance, and Forrest Gump, who it was computer-generated? You can be that actor. You are that actor.
Yeah, it's a big can of worms question. You know, I've met Gary a few times, and I think the work he's done with his foundation is fantastic. I catch some flack sometimes from the disabled community, because I don't necessarily agree that only disabled actors should get to play disabled characters, because I think the purpose of the arts is for us to understand each other a bit more and to create more empathy.
Yeah.
You know? And so just because I can't play Lance Armstrong in a movie,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't then conversely deprive a non-disabled actor from getting to play a disabled character. That performance was tremendous.
It was great.
And it certainly changed his life in terms of what he's done with his, you know, his band and
right.
And
his
that's
foundation.
I just pulled that out of the air, because that's the one that
yeah.
stands out for everyone.
You know, I just wish that the playing field was a little more even in terms of
yeah.
Disabled artists getting a chance to even audition for these roles. I think the representation on TV and film was something around 1% this year of disabled
1%.
Characters. And you're talking about a demographic that has about 40 million Americans. So
yeah.
it's just very lopsided.
And disabilities are out there. We see it every day. I loved Michael J. Fox's show that he came out with, and I was sad that didn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
When we watched The Facts of Life, what was her name?
Sherry Jewell.
She had muscular dystrophy, I believe.
And she was on Deadwood, too. She was incredible.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
It's great. Well,
the list goes on and on and on.
It does, yeah. And I think
the list's getting bigger, though.
Yeah, and I think we're kidding ourselves a bit because, you know, statistically, not to be a downer, but we're probably all heading there someday, you know? So why not tell some great stories with people who have a firsthand experience and have a perhaps more personally rich point of view?
No question.
To have a more in-depth conversation about it.
We're talking with Michael Patrick Thornton. Again, the show Richard III is going on at the Gift Theater, and it runs through May the 1st. TheGiftTheater.org is your best bet for ticket information. We'll continue this next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I have a correction to make, by the way. Jerry Jewell, who was, I remember her from Facts of Life. I did not watch Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
Cerebral palsy.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely right.
In the studio with us right now, a guy who co-founded the Gift Theater. You're also the artistic director, landing a recurring role on ABC's Private Practice. I love that show, by the way. Michael Patrick Thornton, and also a part in the Dilemma, the Vince Vaughn film directed by Ron Howard.
Yes, the Dilemma is trying to find me in the movie, but
but
it was a great experience.
That happens sometimes.
It does happen.
It happens. It makes it more interesting.
It's a great experience
for family and friends to come and try to find Waldo in the crowd scenes.
Yeah.
What do you think the future is? As we pointed out, if you weren't listening earlier, Michael is the first actor to use a robotic exoskeleton as part of the Gift Theater's production of Richard III. Are you optimistic about the future in terms of this sort of technology?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I think the only reason it probably seems a little science fiction-y right now is because the price of all this technology is significant. But I don't know if I think it's Moore's law, right? Of that every year the computer chip, the processor gets smaller and then it gets cheaper and cheaper. And
yeah,
we're already seeing kind of wearable technology with the watch from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see implanted technology probably soon, you know, and so
think how far the prosthetic limbs have come.
Right. I mean, it took a while.
I mean, a
prosthetic limb didn't really change in design from the Civil War till almost. I mean, ironically, it was at RIC, my doctor, Todd Kuiken, who invented the bionic arm.
Oh, really?
You know, and so we kind of got stuck in a holding pattern for a while architecturally on prosthetics. And all out of nowhere then, there's this explosion of innovation. You know, and they had the smartest people in the world working there. I mean, it's just an incredible
institution. And we have
them
here in Chicago. How cool is that?
And it's in Chicago. I was very, very fortunate when I got sick at this place, which... You know, we had never heard of, and you don't hear of it, you know,
until you need it.
Until you need it. But when you need it, you know, thank God it's there.
I don't have to tell you, acting is a tough business. Jobs are hard to come by. Were there times, I'm guessing there were probably times where you thought, because of what I've gone through, I'm going to be limited in my roles as an actor. Was that a hard reality to face at some point?
It was, and it still is. You know, I'm sure I still lose out on jobs because of a gulf of not understanding what disability is about, or thinking, well, it might be too much of a hassle to have them come and do this movie or do this whatever. But, you know, I think a lot of actors never get to answer the question for themselves, do I really need to be doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember in the darkest days where the only thing I could move was my eyes. I couldn't really even talk. I was on a ventilator. That getting back on stage was the driving engine for my recovery. And so to know that specifically, you know, as a 24-year-old, no, this is actually something that's kind of part of my DNA.
Yeah.
No pun intended, was a gift. I wish I could have learned it in a less kind of palpable way, but that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
And also, you know, thank God that I had started a theater company, The Gift, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because I could certainly return there and do stuff. And Steppenwolf has had my back for over 15 years. You know, I mean, they were the first company after I got sick that reached out and was like, we're looking at stuff for you. And they got me back on stage in The Alpha Man. They got me back behind the table directing in A Mice and Men, which is where I met my wife, Lindsay Barlag. And so they became a second home, and they still are a second home. And then other theaters followed suit, and Looking Glass.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Were you John Merrick in The Alpha Man?
I was.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's quite a role too, isn't it?
It was, yeah. It was very cool, you know. So it's very trippy, you know, to return to these spaces. Like when I was at the Steppenwolf Garage for the school at Steppenwolf, you know, I wasn't disabled then. I was running around and training with my friends. So to kind of be back there in this new context, it's very surreal and kind of strange. All of that's useful to play Richard III.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There's no stopping you. There is no stopping you. You know that.
No, I mean, I'm sure something's going to, but
well, something's going to stop
today.
All of us.
It's been a long enough timeline.
Way, way, way in the future.
Exactly.
It'll be stopped, but not anytime soon.
Michael Patrick Thornton, you have been all over the internet, all over the place. This is really exciting, and congratulations to you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
Richard III, the Gift Theater's production runs through May 1st, so get your tickets. You can go to steppenwolf.org. That's the best place to get tickets. You can subscribe to thegifttheater.org, get a subscription so you know what's coming up and what's happening. So nice to meet you.
Thank you. We'd love for everyone to subscribe to our 15th anniversary season, so get online and do that. That'd
absolutely.
Will
thanks,
we be
Michael.
Looking for you in TV or movies anytime soon?
Yes. Actually, there's a TV project that's coming out soon that I can't say on what thing. And then there's an independent film I had done a year ago that'll be shown in Chicago soon. So
nice.
Come back and tell us about it when that's ready
to happen.
I would
love to.
You're on. Thank
cool.
you, Michael. Appreciate it. A quick break and then more show coming your way after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.